Welcome to Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. It is our pleasure and privilege to present to you the gospel message of the sovereign grace and glory of God in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that today's program will be a blessing to you. Thank you for listening, and now for today's program.
Welcome to our program. Today, I'm going to be preaching from the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And the title of the message is Revelation by the Holy Spirit. Revelation by the Holy Spirit, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, if you'd like to follow along in your Bibles. Now, this message is part of a series of messages that I'm doing concerning the subject of how to interpret the Bible, how to interpret the Scriptures. And what I'm doing is I'm taking time to go over what I call the rules of biblical interpretation. And I've dealt with the first rule, which I call the rule of Jesus Christ crucified and risen or raised from the dead, which is the gospel rule, and says that when we read the Bible, if we want to understand the Bible, we see it with a Christ-centered view. This book, from Genesis to Revelation, is a book about Jesus Christ and how God saves sinners by His grace through Christ. And everything in this book is going to support that truth. He's never going to deny it or contradict it or even ignore it. But that's what this book is about. And then the second rule is what I call the rule of first mention, where a truth or a concept of Scripture is first mentioned, that never changes. It all throughout the Bible. And I went back to the book of Genesis to show the first prophecy of Jesus Christ as Messiah and God's way of salvation through His blood, His righteousness as our substitute and surety, who took the place of His people, God's elect, on the cross of Calvary and redeemed them and provided the righteousness by which God justifies sinners, which is the imputed righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then the third rule that I mentioned was the rule of simplicity. And that's the simplicity of the fact that if God says it, then that settles it. It's true, whether I believe it, whether I understand it, no matter what. If God says it, it's true. And I, as a minister, a teacher, a pastor, I don't have any right to deny or to hide or ignore or skip over any part of Scripture because it doesn't fit with my human logic or my human rationale. In other words, God said it, and that settles it. So that's the rule of simplicity. Well, today I'm going to talk to you about the fourth rule of biblical interpretation, which is the rule of revelation. And that's why I entitled this message, Revelation by the Holy Spirit. And like I said, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and I want to show you some things there about revelation. But the rule of revelation simply states this, that whenever we read and read the Bible and seek to understand the meaning of the Scriptures, what they mean, seek to find out how it applies to ourselves personally, our lives, what it means in every realm there, we are totally dependent upon God the Holy Spirit to gain a real understanding of the Scriptures. We can't do it on our own. We have a mind, we have affections, we have wills. God gave us a mind to reason with. But by nature, we are dead in trespasses and sin. We fell in Adam. That's what it means to be ruined by the fall. And as a result, sin and death spread upon the whole human race, all who are descended from Adam. And we're born dead in trespasses and sin. Now, what that means is this. We have the physical and the mental capacities to read the Bible, to read the words, maybe even to understand some of it. But what we do not have is the spiritual capacity, the spiritual ability to understand the Bible savingly. And that's the issue of sin. We don't have what the Bible calls spiritual eyes. We have eyes. I have eyes and I can look down on this page and I can read its words. But by nature, I don't have spiritual eyes. Those have to be given to me. And I'll show you that in just a moment. We don't have spiritual ears. We can audibly hear with physically, and we can understand some of what we're hearing as far as the scriptures go, but we don't have spiritual ears. We have a heart of understanding. The heart in the Bible is the mind, the affections, and the will. We have desires, but we don't have desires for God until they're given to us by the Holy Spirit. Now, that's what Christ meant when he talked to Nicodemus in John chapter 3 in verse 3. And he said this, he said, except a man be born again from above, born again by the Spirit, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, what that word see there means he cannot understand it. He cannot grasp it. He cannot perceive the reality, the glory, the truth of it. He can't do it until he's born again. Now, preachers today, many will tell you that, well, the only way to get born again is to believe. And that's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that we will not believe until we're born again. In fact, in John chapter 1, verses 12 through 13, it tells that. It talks about those who receive Jesus Christ. And it says he gives them the power, the word power there meaning the right to become the sons of God. And he says these were born not of bloods, that is, not of physical heritage. That's particularly relating to the Jews who claim to be children of God because they were descendants of Abraham. No, that's not how a person's born again. That's physical birth. And he says not of the will of the flesh. That means the works of the flesh. Your works cannot get you born again. And then he says nor of the will of man. You see, you can't will your way into the kingdom of God. You don't have a will to go into the kingdom of God. Man by nature does not. Man by nature wants salvation. He desires salvation. He wills to have it, but he doesn't want it God's way. And I'll show you that too. Here in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, we'll see that. But let me say this about revelation. When we talk about revelation, it has to be revealed. The Bible speaks of a general revelation. Back over in the Psalms, in Psalm 19, we can read about that where the psalmist David talked about in Psalm 19 and verse 1, he says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There's no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. That's the general revelation that shows man something of the glory and character and power of God through nature. The sun, the stars, nature, the trees, all of that. What is that revelation? That's a general revelation of nature that shows the power of a creator. You see what happens though. What does man by nature do with that general revelation? He turns it into idolatry. You see, if left to ourselves, that's what we'll do. Book of Romans chapter 1 speaks of that. You can start at verse 18 of Romans 1 and start reading about man by nature left to himself, how he holds the truth in unrighteousness, and how he takes the things that glorify God in nature. And rather than worship, seek the Creator and worship Him, they worship the creation, the sun god or the sun or the trees. There are people today called pantheists. They believe that the earth is God. You know, the trees are God. And man, really, what he's after ultimately is to worship himself. But you see, general revelation is not enough to bring a sinner to Christ. So there's a general revelation. There's a Bible revelation. This Bible here, here's another form. This Bible here is the Word of God revealed. This is not the Word of man. He used men to write the Bible. But this Bible here is the book of salvation. I dealt with that a few messages ago. Why I believe the Bible. It's the verbally inspired, inerrant Word of God. It's the book of salvation because it's the book of Christ. How do I know how God saves sinners? Because of what this Bible says. And so this Bible is the completed Word of God. You can't add anything to this. Men try to do that. But you see, this is the revelation of God and it's complete. And in the last book of the Bible, Revelation, the last chapter, it says, anyone who attempts to add to or take away from this Word, his name is not in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's why when anybody comes to you and says, well, God revealed something to me. Well, he's not going to reveal anything new. It may be new to you, but it's not new in the annals of God's time. Anything God reveals to you or to me must line up with what God's already revealed. That's why Joseph Smith was a false preacher, a false prophet, because he went beyond the Scripture. And there's so many of those today. Then there's the gospel revelation. Now that's the gospel preached. Paul said in Romans 1:16 and 17, he says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and to the Greek also. In verse 17 he says, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. You see, the gospel revelation is the preaching of the gospel. But not everybody has believed the gospel who hears it. Isaiah said that in Isaiah 53:1. He said, who hath believed our report, our doctrine? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? The arm of the Lord is the power of the Lord, and that's Christ. 1 Corinthians 1 talks about how the preaching of the cross is foolishness to them who are perishing, but unto them who are saved, it's the power of God. The gospel revelation is the power, is the preaching of the gospel. But then there's a special revelation. There's an irresistible revelation of the Holy Spirit. And that's what I'm talking about in this message here on revelation by the Holy Spirit. Now I want you to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and we'll begin at verse 7. And I'm going to read through these verses. He's talking about the preaching of the cross. Now, the preaching of the cross is the preaching of the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ, the gospel message, which speaks of who Jesus Christ is, Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Who is Jesus Christ? He is God in human flesh. He is God-man. He's the Word made flesh dwelling among us. He is the Messiah. He is the one way of salvation for sinners. And what did He do when He died on the cross? Well, He died as the substitute and surety of God's elect. That's who He died for. His sheep, His church. He took their place. Their sins were imputed, charged, accounted to Him. That's what the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:21. He was made sin. Christ was made sin. How? God charged Him with the debt of sin. And what pays that debt? Only death. The wages of sin is death. Remember He told Adam in the garden, in the day that you eat thereof, you'll die. You shall surely die. Or die and thou shalt die. So Jesus Christ went to the cross as a guilty person, a cursed person, based on sin imputed to Him, charged to Him, accounted to Him, based on a debt that He took upon Himself as the surety of His people. And He suffered, He bled, and He died to pay that debt. And in paying that debt, He washed away their sins. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And in paying that debt, He established righteousness, perfect satisfaction to God's justice that was imputed to His people, charged to Him. So if I'm a believer, if I'm a child of God, If I'm one who to whom the Holy Spirit has revealed Christ to, the gospel and the word of God, I stand before God righteous, justified, not guilty, without sin in a legal way. I'm a sinner, but my sins are not charged to me. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Now that's what he's talking about. And here's what he says in verse 7 of 1 Corinthians 2. He says, "But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory." Now that hidden wisdom has to do with this gospel message. Man doesn't know anything about that by nature. He's ignorant. You see, man's problem by nature is twofold. It's ignorance and willful unbelief. We don't know the way of salvation, and when we hear it, we don't want the way of salvation, God's way. We want it our way. We're like Cain by nature. We want to bring the works of our hand. We want to talk about, I was saved because I did this, or I did that, or I made this decision, or I made that decision. People today are ensconced in free willism and decisional regeneration, and that's not what the Bible teaches. Do we have a will? Yes, but it's not a will toward God. How can that will be changed toward God? You must be born again by the Spirit. God makes His people willing in the day of His power. That's what this book says. Do we make a decision when we come to Christ? Yes, we do. But the power of salvation is not the power of our decision. The power of regeneration is not the power of our decision. The power of salvation is the power of God in Christ through the Holy Spirit. So this is hidden. And it was set up before the world began. He says in verse 8 of 1 Corinthians 2, "Which none of the princes of this world knew, none of the noblemen, the highfalutin philosophers, teachers, and princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory." You see, those who were actually involved in the historical crucifixion are only representative of the whole human race fallen in Adam. I heard of a preacher years ago who made the statement when he was talking about the crucifixion of Christ, and he was describing it in such graphic detail and crying, and he made this statement. He said, "If I had been there, I would have stopped it." And I thought, do you know anything about the God of glory who saves sinners by the death of Christ? To stop Christ from going to the cross is to stop salvation. How can anybody be so bold and arrogant as to make a statement like that? The man's an unbeliever. Stopped it? My friend, we're the ones who were instrumental in doing it. But it was all because of God's determinate counsel and foreknowledge. That's what Peter said at Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. Christ himself said, "This is the reason I came to earth, to die." My friend, if Jesus Christ had not gone to the cross, there'd be no salvation for any of us. There'd be no righteousness established. But he says, had they known better, which we don't, they would not have done it. Had they known better, they would not have needed it. Because if we know better, that's salvation. But he says in verse 9, "But as it is written, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man." Now think about that. "The things which God hath prepared for them that love him." Man by nature doesn't know this. "But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit." Verse 10. You see that? Now who's the us there? That's not all without exception. He's talking about those who have been called unto glory. He says in verse 10, "But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God." These things of salvation by the grace of God in Christ, only the Spirit of God can reveal them to a sinner through the Word of God. He says in verse 11, "For what man knoweth the things of a man save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God." In other words, man only knows the things of man. He doesn't know by nature the things of God. We don't have this, people say today, this spark of goodness that just needs to be fanned by some preacher who's persuasive or charismatic. No, we're dead spiritually. And that's why we must be born again, Christ said. We can't even see these things in their glory and majesty and truth until we're born again. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That's what Paul's saying right here. What man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him? That which is born of the and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. So he says in verse 12, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Now that's the problem with man. To know the things that are freely given is to believe salvation by the grace of God, freely given, undeserved and unearned, but through Jesus Christ. Man does not want these things freely given. He wants to do something to earn or deserve these things. That's man by nature. And until the Spirit of God comes in and reveals these things to us in the new birth, gives us a new heart, that's what the Scripture says He does, back in Jeremiah 31, Ezekiel 37, a new heart, who gives us a new spirit, who gives us ears to hear and eyes to see. Remember what Christ told the disciples in Matthew 13, in beginning at verse 10, when they asked Him, why are you speaking in parables? And He said, well, they seeing, see not, hearing, they hear not. They don't want these things I'm saying. But then He looked at His disciples, and here's what He said. He said, but you're better than them. You're exercising your free will. I've fanned the spark. No, that's not what He said. He said, but blessed are your eyes, for they see. Blessed are your ears, for they hear. You've been born again. You've been given spiritual eyes and spiritual ears. That's a miracle. And you receive the things that are freely given. He says in verse 13, which things also we speak not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, revelation by the Spirit, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. You see, man's problem, he always tries to judge the spiritual by the earthly or the fleshly or the physical. But when God the Holy Spirit reveals the Word of God, then we compare spiritual things with spiritual things. Now look at verse 14. He says, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. The natural man is how we're born naturally, by nature, dead in trespasses and sin. They're foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned, spiritually understood, spiritually judged. But he that is spiritual, that is a born-again person, one who has spiritual life, he judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. He can understand these things. He can understand himself because the Spirit of God has taught him through Christ. But the world can't understand him. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. That's what the Spirit of God does when he gives us the mind of Christ. Now, go back to the rule. This is the rule of revelation. When I read this book and seek to understand its meaning, I am totally dependent upon the Holy Spirit to teach me and reveal these things to me. And he does it first by giving spiritual life. You must be born again. And the evidences of spiritual life are faith in Christ, repentance. That's where he gives us ears to hear, eyes to see. He shows us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And some people will hear what I'm telling you, and they'll start reasoning physically, naturally, and they'll say, well, then there's nothing I can do. If I'm totally dependent upon the Holy Spirit, then there's nothing I can do about it. I'll just sit back and wait for the Spirit to do what He's going to do. If He does, He doesn't. If He does, He does. Absolutely not. And let me show you why. You know, there's a verse in the Bible that I rely pretty heavily on. I don't just pick out one verse here and there. But this verse says a lot. It's in Deuteronomy chapter 29 and verse 29. And that's where the Lord made the statement in speaking through Moses to the children of Israel. And he says this, he says the secret things belong to God. Now what are the secret things? Those are things God has not revealed to us. But he said the revealed things belong to us and to our children that we may keep the words of this law. Now he's talking about the old covenant, but it applies to the whole Bible. What God has not revealed, I'm not responsible or accountable for. But God has revealed some things. And that's the world I live in. You say, well, I don't know if God's going to reveal this to me or not. I don't either. Only God knows that. But I know this. I'm not God, and you're not God. God, first of all, has commanded us to seek Him. You're commanded to seek the Lord. I'm commanded to seek the Lord. That's number one. Secondly, God has given us minds, a conscience, whereby we're held accountable. You've got a conscience. Now, by nature, the conscience is defiled. That conscience, which is part of the mind, has to be washed in the blood of Christ. That's what relieves the guilty conscience. That's what makes the conscience pure. To see that my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I have no hope of salvation but Christ. When I stand before God, what am I going to plead? If I plead anything but Christ's righteousness imputed alone, then my friend, I'm done for. That's eternal death and damnation. Thirdly, you know that the Bible teaches that within man there is an emptiness. And I could go to various scriptures to show you that. You know it's so. And man by nature is going to try to fill that emptiness with a lot of things. Well, what are you going to fill with? Well, look to God, look to Christ, and pray that God will reveal it to your heart. I hope you'll join us next week for another message from God's Word.
We are glad you could join us for another edition of Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. To receive a copy of today's program, or to learn more about Reign of Grace Media Ministries or Eager Avenue Grace Church, write us at 1102 Eager Drive, Albany, Georgia, 31707. Contact us by phone at 229-432-6969 or email us through our website at www.theletterrofgrace.com. Thank you again for listening today, and may the Lord be with you.